Mai Govanen. Welcome to the Tolkien Lore Channel. I'm the Tolkien Geek, and recently, I think it was on my video on how to write in Tengwar, somebody commented that I should do a video on Led Zeppelin lyrics that are, you know, very influenced by The Lord of the Rings. And this is a topic that I've always been kind of curious about, because I always knew that there were at least a few Led Zeppelin songs that kind of referenced Lord of the Rings type stuff. So I figured this was a good opportunity for me to both satisfy my curiosity and, you know, put a video out there. So I went and did a search for Led Zeppelin lyrics that were related to Lord of the Rings. I found four songs, sort of, and I also found an article that talked about other bands that did some Lord of the Rings related lyrics and whatnot. Now, there are several bands, especially more recently than Led Zeppelin, that have done explicitly Lord of the Rings themed albums, right? And I'm not really talking about those. I'm talking more about songs individually that, you know, on their own are very Lord of the Rings influenced or have, you know, references, that type of thing, without going into groups that did specifically Lord of the Rings themed music. So this is more oblique references and things of that nature. And I'm not going to cover all of them, because some of them were very, the ones that I found were very tenuous. Like, I'm not sure that's really all that heavy. You know, you could interpret it that way, but not necessarily. So the two bands that I really came up with for this were Led Zeppelin, of course, and also Rush. So the two are very, very different. Neither of them are bands that I ever particularly listened to a lot of their music. Led Zeppelin is one of those where there's a certain, I think you have to have grown up with it to really particularly like their music. And I just did not grow up with it, and so their style just never really jived with me. Even though I like music from that era, it's not that kind of music. Rush, I just haven't heard much of their music in general. In fact, the two songs that I found, I really want to actually go and listen to now that I've read the lyrics, because I'm just curious how they sound, but I haven't done that yet. So I'm not analyzing this from a point of view of somebody who's just really in love with the music in either case, but I do find the lyrics at least interesting. So let's kick it off with Led Zeppelin. Of course, Led Zeppelin is kind of famous for this, because there are, as I mentioned, a few songs where they explicitly reference things. Misty Mountain Hop being the name of one of their songs, that makes it a little bit obvious that they might be referencing The Lord of the Rings. I'm going to start with the weakest one, actually, because it's simultaneously the weakest, but also kind of the most interesting. There is a song called, and I am probably going to butcher the pronunciation because I believe this is a Welsh town, but it was called Bron y Awr Stomp, which I seem to have, yeah, there it is, Bron y Awr Stomp. Again, I might be butchering that name. The song, when I was reading the lyrics, it sounded like it was just kind of a love song at first, and I'm not going to get into the lyrics in detail because the lyrics don't reference anything. Towards the end of the song, it becomes clear that he's actually talking about something four-footed. And I read up on the song a little bit. The song is a song about his dog, with whom, his meaning Robert Plant, with whom he went on a walk in the Welsh town or area of Bron y Awr. So that's why it's called, that's why the song is called what it is. He went on a walk with his dog in the area, and this is the song he wrote about that, more or less. The reason it's connected is because he named his dog Strider. So it's only very tangentially connected to The Lord of the Rings. But this is why Led Zeppelin was famous for this sort of thing. Because Robert Plant, Plant was just really into The Lord of the Rings. And he did a lot of things that were very influenced by it. And this was in some ways kind of common back in that era. Because it was when the Lord of the Rings kind of had a cult following, but hadn't hit really mass popularity. And so the musicians who were doing kind of niche music, a lot of them kind of found a little bit of their own thing in Lord of the Rings. And some of that could probably be said of Rush, too, because they were a prog rock band, and they did music that most people were not into, but they were, you know, again, in that niche category where, you know, kind of geeks, weirdos, and whatever you want to call them. So that's kind of how that went. But Plant was kind of famous for this. The one that everybody knows, of course, is Ramble On. Now, the musical style of Ramble On, and this is the one that I'm the most familiar with in terms of hearing it, because my dad likes the song and I've heard it several times. But that one particular song, it doesn't really sound like anything you would necessarily hear in a Middle-earth setting or a Lord of the Rings soundtrack or anything like that. But there are lyrics that very clearly reference stuff out of the Lord of the Rings. And then there were some lyrics in it that also seemed suggestive, maybe, but not clear. So the opening verse goes, "The leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged for such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go. The autumn moon lights my way. For now I smell the rain, and with it pain, and it's headed my way. Ah, sometimes I grow so tired, but I know I've got one thing I got to do." Now, this is suggestive to me. It immediately brought to mind the idea of Lothlorien, because the Fellowship stays there, and it was a pleasant stay, but they had to leave. And it's not really a direct parallel, because in the story, of course, they're in Lothlorien in winter, not in autumn, and so that doesn't fit. The autumn period fits with Frodo leaving the Shire and that sort of thing, but it doesn't really fit the rest of the lyrics. Now, do I think Plant was specifically referencing, the Lothlorien or anything like that with these lyrics? I don't know, maybe not. The rest of the song seems to be about him trying to go after a woman that he loved but left, or something to that effect. And I gotta say, Led Zeppelin and their lyrics, not the easiest thing to follow. This was, the age of drugs and rock and roll, so I don't necessarily expect all the lyrics to make complete and total sense. And that's Led Zeppelin for you. Their lyrics are, even when they are coherent, don't necessarily tell a story that you can easily piece together. But then there's, like I said, a few more verses. But then the verse that everybody knows, the people who know this kind of thing, this is the one that everybody knows that Led Zeppelin did that, really is connected to Lord of the Rings, because I think this is like the fourth verse in Ramble On. "Mine's a tale that can't be told, my freedom I hold dear. How years ago in days of old, when magic filled the air, 'twas in the darkest depths of Mordor I met a girl so fair. But Gollum, the evil one, crept up and slipped away with her, yeah. Ah, there's nothing I can do now, I guess I'll keep on." So this verse, of course, it references Mordor and Gollum, and the evil one could be Sauron, but in any event, it's referencing specific things out of Lord of the Rings, but it's referencing them in a way that has nothing to do with the story, because it was in Mordor that he knew a girl who Gollum and the evil one stole away, which is just not even close to like anything that happens in the story, right? And so you get the idea that what's going on with Plant is not so much that he is trying to insert the story into his song, but he's just using ideas from the story to kind of symbolically represent something in the song. Because, you could meet a girl in a really bad time in your life and you could metaphorically refer to that as Mordor. And then Gollum could just be a friend or a enemy or, somebody who's just really nasty. And then the evil one could be just somebody you don't know but who has a nasty reputation. I mean, you could come up with a lot of different ways to interpret this, but it's just interesting. Again, like I said, this is the one that everybody knows. The darkest depths of Mordor, I mean, this is like one of his most famous lines when it comes to Lord of the Rings connections and referring directly to Gollum. So that's kind of the big one. It's not the only one, though. Of course, we do have the Misty Mountain Hop, which I referenced earlier. And the Misty Mountain Hop is one of the more incoherent sets of lyrics that I read, I have to say. The song as a whole almost sounds like he starts off in a hippie commune doing drugs, and the cops come in and start, trying to do something. It's not really clear exactly what's going on. But there is a short little bit where it says, "So I've decided that what I'm going to do now, so I'm packing my bags for the Misty Mountains where the spirits go now, over the hills where the spirits fly." That's the most direct connection to anything in the Lord of the Rings, and of course it's where it gets its name, the Misty Mountain Hop. What exactly he is trying to refer to with this, again, it's not a reference to the story in the sense that he is inserting elements of the story into his song. It's more like he's using elements of the story to mean something else within his song. And again, this song seems, at least in my initial reading of the lyrics, to be related to drug culture, maybe, and the reference to the police makes me think that it had something to do, maybe, with there might have been some connection to, stuff going on at the time in Britain when he wrote this. I don't know, but I don't know enough about the history of Led Zeppelin and Plant and everything that was going on at the time. But just the whole idea there, it was weird, and I didn't know if he was using the Misty Mountains as like a place that he could go and do his drugs freely, or if he was talking, the idea of where spirits fly, that seemed like a very kind of druggy metaphor. But again, most of this song, you wouldn't get any Lord of the Rings vibes out of it at all. It's really only the Misty Mountains reference that even hints at it. And even then, it doesn't really give you any indication of Lord of the Rings' story going on. The final one is the Battle of Evermore, and this is probably the other one that he's most famous for. This one, I did the entire set of lyrics and copied them down because there's so much here that is kind of vaguely connected in a lot of ways. I'm not going to read all the lyrics here. I mean, you can look them up yourself. But the opening lines are, "The Queen of Light took her bow." That could be Galadriel. I mean, really. "And then she turned to go. The Prince of Peace embraced the gloom and walked the night alone." The Prince of Peace, interestingly, is a strange one to put in here. That's usually a term that is connected with Jesus, because of the prophecies about the Messiah in Isaiah. So that's interesting to throw in there with the Queen of Light. I don't know if that's supposed to be a reference to anybody in the story, or if it's supposed to be a reference to Jesus, or if it's something else entirely. Who knows? It's Led Zeppelin. But then there's a line about, "Oh, dance in the dark of night, sing to the morning light. The Dark Lord rides in force tonight, and time will tell us all." The Dark Lord does seem like a pretty direct reference to Sauron. So, I mean, there's obviously the Dark Lord is a kind of generic concept that could be applied to a lot of things, but that phrase did not have, I don't think, anything like a wide conscious idea in the public's mind until Lord of the Rings came out and Sauron was the Dark Lord. I might be wrong about that, but I'm not familiar with any literature prior to the Lord of the Rings that made the Dark Lord like a thing. Another one that was interesting to me is it says, "I hear the horses thunder down in the valley below. I'm waiting for the angels of Avalon, waiting for the eastern glow." Avalon, of course, is connected with Arthurian legend and not Lord of the Rings. But Tolkien did work on Arthurian legends and drew probably some inspiration for his own stories from Arthur in some ways. And it's just interesting because Avalon is also very connected to Tol Eressëa because, or Eressëa because the other name for that, or the harbor at least in the island is Avalone, which seems like Tolkien might have been going for a direct connection there. And if you read, was it The Fall of Arthur, where it talks about how he actually kind of wrote a story connecting the two ideas a little bit, or at least that's what Christopher says in his notes. So Plant, of course, would have had no idea of this at the time that he wrote this song, because none of this material was published. But it's kind of interesting that he references it in this song, which also has Lord of the Rings type references. Later on in the song, it gets a little more kind of adjacent to the Lord of the Rings. "Oh, the war is come and cry. Pick up your swords and fly. The sky is filled with good and bad that mortals never know." That's really vague. But you could see how somebody reading The Lord of the Rings, and especially with the flying Nazgul and all that, could come up with those lyrics with something like that in mind. And then a couple verses later, the pain of war cannot exceed the woe of aftermath. The drums will shake the castle wall. The ringwraiths ride in black. Ride on. Ringwraiths. That one is the first time we get an absolutely 100% clear reference to a Tolkien idea. And the drums will shake the castle wall almost sounds reminiscent of the siege of Minas Tirith. So, it, you know, the Battle of Evermore seems like it might be very, very, if loosely, but very connected to that part of the story. And the rest of it, again, is there's some vague stuff that maybe you could connect, that he talks about a dragon, which doesn't sound like Smaug at all, but nevertheless, it's a dragon. There's stuff in there that you could kind of see, but those are the ones that I think are the clearest possible connections to the Lord of the Rings. That's all I could find on Led Zeppelin. Now, there might be other songs out there by Led Zeppelin that I didn't find because, again, I'm just not super familiar with their catalog of music, and I was relying on what I could find on the internet. But I did find a couple of songs by Rush that were also very much more connected to Lord of the Rings than your average piece of music, let's say. So the first one is titled Rivendell. Now, that's kind of obvious, right? and I'm not, again, going to read all the lyrics, but just the opening verse, sunlight dances through the leaves, soft winds stir the sighing trees, lying in the warm grass, feel the sun upon your face, elven songs and endless nights, sweet wine and soft relaxing lights, time will never touch you here in this enchanted place. Sounds like Rivendell. I mean, time will never touch you, elven songs, I mean, he couldn't be more explicitly referencing Rivendell, you know, other than using the name. So, I mean, he's definitely taking inspiration directly from The Lord of the Rings, and maybe even The Hobbit, who knows. But the lyrics here actually so well match what we know about Rivendell that it's almost like he's writing lines that Tolkien could have written. It's really interesting in that regard. And the next verse also kind of clearly seems to refer to the story because it says, I've traveled now for many miles. Frodo has definitely traveled for many miles by the time he gets to Rivendell. It feels good to see the smiles of friends who never left your mind. He meets Bilbo in Rivendell, and that is, you know, that matches that really well. When you were far away from the golden light of coming dawn till the twilight when the sun is gone, we treasure every season and every passing day. Frodo spends a lot of his days with Bilbo and, you know, doing things with Bilbo while he's in Rivendell. He, you know, he spends his time doing that because part of his motivation, or at least what he allowed to motivate himself to leave Bag End, was to find Bilbo, hopefully. So, you know, this is not just a reference to the place of Rivendell, but even seemingly Frodo's own particular situation. So, Neil Peart, who wrote these lyrics, really seems to have been invested in that story and taken a lot of inspiration from it. There's also a reference in a later verse to Where the Dark Lord Cannot Go, again, referencing Sauron almost certainly. There's just a bunch of stuff in here. He references the Misty Mountains at least twice. So, there's stuff in this song, and again, I'm not going to read all the lyrics, but I mean, reading even just the first couple verses, it's really strong. The rest of it gets a little bit weaker, but it's still very connected. If you can find those connections if you already have Rivendell and Frodo's story in your mind. Now, the other song that I found is called The Necromancer, which, you know, what does that sound like? And this one is a lot more like the way Led Zeppelin uses his stuff. It seems more like a thing that Neil Peart took to inspire his own story rather than referencing the Lord of the Rings story or the Hobbit story in this case. Because the opening line is about three travelers, men of Willowdale. And what I found online was this is actually a reference to the original form of the original makeup of Rush, because apparently the three original members were from Willowdale. So that's, you know, I don't know enough about their history to know if that's true, but I assume it's accurate. Not that I believe everything I read online, but, you know, point being, that's what that reference is to. But The opening verse is as gray traces of dawn tinge the eastern sky, the three travelers, men of Willowdale, emerge from the forest shadow. Fording the river Dawn, they turn south, journeying into the dark and forbidding lands of the necromancer. Which, they're in the woods and they're going south. I mean, it sounds like they're in Mirkwood. That sounds, you know, reasonable enough. So we're off to a pretty strong start. But of course, we're talking about three men from Willowdale, which even if you not, you know, imagining it being three members of Rush, it could just be three members from some town called Willowdale in Middle Earth. Clearly, it's not the Hobbit party, and it's not anybody in the Lord of the Rings. This is something entirely different. The story told in this is interesting. These three people are apparently going out against the necromancer to get revenge, but get captured and have to be rescued by a prince named Bytor. And apparently, Bytor is a character from another song that was written by, I guess, Neil Peart, but somebody in Rush, at least. And apparently in that song, Bytor was actually kind of a villain, whereas in here he's more of a hero. But Bytor ends up defeating the necromancer, apparently, and freeing these three people, which sounds kind of like the Beren and Luthien story a little bit, which is interesting because, if I remember correctly, the copyright on this song was 1975, so the most that he could have possibly known about that story was what was in Aragorn's version of it at Weathertop. So I don't know if he was intentionally kind of trying to reconstruct something of that in this song, or if he just completely came up with his own story and used the necromancer as the evil character. You know, obviously I can't read Neil Peart's mind, but it's an interesting song in that there are definitely a lot of elements which very closely mirror aspects of Sauron's career. It's just almost disorienting to read it, because it's almost like he's writing fan fiction, but not. There's another line in here which I really thought was interesting. Shreds of black cloud loom in overcast skies. The necromancer keeps watch with his magic prism eyes. If that's not a reference to the Palantir, I don't know what it is. Because that's just magic prism eyes. He's keeping watch with his magic prism eyes. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a Palantir reference in there somewhere. And then when Prince Bytor comes in and defeats the necromancer, we get this. From chains of long years, the spell has been broken. The dark lands are bright. The wraith of the necromancer soars away in the night. Which, again, that sounds like Sauron fleeing from Mirkwood to return to Mordor, but it also sounds like his spirit, you know, kind of being loose from his body when Huon defeats him and Luthien releases him once he, you know, opens up the magic of his tower. So, again, there's this really strong connection to Sauron, which is more than just the name. I mean, it looks like Neil Peart took some serious thought in terms of connecting the ideas of who Sauron was and what he did and really put it into this song, which is, again, clearly not a Lord of the Rings story, unless you want to call it fan fiction, because there ain't no Prince Bytor in the Lord of the Rings or anywhere else. So, but he didn't just take the name and do nothing with it other than that. I mean, he clearly took really key ideas and connected them all in this song, which I just found fascinating. You know, I mean, there's plenty of people who do overt Tolkien-related or Tolkien-themed music. They, you know, there's bands who do albums that are all about Tolkien. And then there's, you know, the people like Led Zeppelin, they did songs that kind of obliquely reference stuff or even explicitly reference stuff, but don't really have that story element. Rush is kind of sitting in the middle. He's taking really detailed aspects and putting them together in a song or songs where you can really see that he's read Lord of the Rings and didn't just remember a couple words out of it. I mean, he's taking significant ideas and using them for his own purposes. Rivendell, you could even say that Rivendell is actually a song about Rivendell, and it's actually about Frodo, The Necromancer, not so much. You could imagine that it's fan fiction, or you could imagine that it's just his own story that he really heavily took inspiration from Tolkien for. But it's just interesting to see how he does that, because it's, again, very different from Led Zeppelin. And now I'm going to go listen to those two Rush songs just because I'm curious to see how they sound in addition to the words. So I'm going to go do that and have fun. If you've never heard any of these songs before, you might want to do the same thing. Just get your own idea of them. Maybe one of these days I'll cover more music that is explicitly Tolkien-themed, but unfortunately, many of those are metal bands or, you know, other types of music that I'm just not particularly a fan of. I will say there's a guy out there who does kind of classical symphony music named David Arkenstone. I wonder where he got that name. And he did an album of Lord of the Rings themed music. And it's pretty good. It's not like the most awesome stuff ever, but I like some of it. So that's kind of more my speed, let's say, than the metal or hard rock type stuff that you a lot of the times find is the Lord of the Rings specifically themed music. But yeah, I just haven't found really a whole lot of that kind of stuff that suits my musical taste. So I probably won't ever do a video where I really get in depth and explore a lot of that stuff, because I just have no interest in listening to that style of music. I'm sorry. If you were all waiting for me to do some of that, it's just not going to happen. But yeah, go listen to some of these songs if you're interested. Tell me what you think about this video, you know, in the comments. Let me know if you know of any other songs that I should have mentioned or maybe I could cover in the future. If you liked the video, please give it a thumbs up, share it around. Check the description below for social links and support links and all that good stuff. Follow me on the platform formerly known as Twitter for Tolkien-related trivia questions. And until the next time, I'm the Tolkien Geek, signing out for the Tolkien Lore Channel. Namarie. Thanks to all my channel supporters, especially Paul Leone, Nathan Dufour, and Robert Kindling.